Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. There are so many resources available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute, the Hank Unplugged podcast, of course, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our 24/7 outreaches around the world, the books that I've written, the resources that you find on the web at equip.org. But one of those resources that we don't talk about enough is the Christian Research Journal, an award-winning magazine that no Christian home should be without. You can go to the web at equip.org and order your copy, but I was looking through the current edition of the Christian Research Journal and thinking about the timeliness of some of the articles, an article like Faithful Living Through COVID-19 by Douglas Grotheis, or Irenaeus and Christian Orthodoxy. This is a powerful article about a second century theological warrior. He stands among the most relevant thinkers, period. His reliance on the church's canon, the creed, the clergy, shows us a way beyond the interpretive anarchy of today's individualistic approaches to Christianity. And I think about an article, and I had him on a podcast as well, by Luke Goodrich, who wrote an article for the journal titled Winning the Fight for Religious Freedom. And he talks about what it would mean to win in this kind of a battle. And he says to really answer that question, we need to consider the type of people we're called to be during religious freedom conflicts, because only if we become those people can we win religious freedom fights in any real, meaningful sense. Another article that caught my eye, The Beauty of Worship, Aesthetics and Truth. The non-liturgical attraction model of worship, probably a lot of you don't know this, but it's a historical novelty. By turning the aesthetic element of worship to the utilitarian end of producing a subjective experience of God, the seeker-sensitive model ends up forfeiting both beauty and truth. But when the church gathers, when the scriptures are rightly expounded and the Eucharist is rightly celebrated, Christ's presence and his power are assured by his promises. But there's more. The cover story of the journal, I've talked about it before, seduced. The Crisis of Word and the Fragmentation of Civilization by D.K. Matthews, a powerful argument, an argument that highlights the fact that we may be facing COVID-19, but there's a crisis that is as virulent, perhaps far more virulent, and we as Christians are caught in the crosshairs of this virulent linguistic pandemic. Carl Henry rightly defined this time of trouble as a crisis of word, a linguistic crisis that has flowered into fragmentation and outrage and semantic terrorism. Consider something that I've talked about on this broadcast before, the redefinition of the word marriage. Maybe you don't recognize this. Maybe you do. But marriage has at all times and in all societies been a relationship between men and women. Marriage exists because of the dual gender distinct nature of humanity, because of the connection between marriage and procreation, which is more than just incidental. And yet, in the opinion of Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy, marriage as historically defined, well, it fosters ill will and animosity. In his opinion, anyone who embraces the historical definition of marriage does so out of hate and animus. The redefinition of the word marriage is hardly a trifling matter. It's emblematic of the twilight of a once logocentric and great civilization. Again, this is a critical article for you to read, and I talk about this in some length as well in a From the President column in this very edition of the Christian Research Journal. But the thing I really want to draw your attention to today is faithful prayer in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic. Not just prayer in general, but prayer in repentance. The Old Testament book of Jonah contains the quintessential biblical account of what repentance is all about. The narrative clearly reveals that Israel was not chosen as an expression of racial favoritism. Rather, they were chosen to be a light to the nations, and as such, God directed the Israelite prophet Jonah to call the evil Assyrian city of Nineveh to repentance out of a patient desire that none should perish. Like many today, Jonah, well, he misunderstood the calling of Israel. He believed God's blessings were reserved for the Hebrew nation alone. And yet from Jonah, we learn the inviolate truth that whoever trusts in God and repents of their sin, they're going to be blessed. But conversely, whoever rejects his grace and continues in sin, they're going to be condemned. So in sober response to Jonah's call for repentance, Nineveh did the unthinkable. The city declared a fast, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, they put on sackcloth. Imagine this. A prostituted pagan city fasting in sackcloth and ashes. And when God saw what they did, when God saw how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion, and he didn't bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. And the great Assyrian city is, of course, not alone. Many nations throughout history have repented. They've prayed for the mercy of God. America was once one of them. In the midst of the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln called on all Americans to participate in a national day of humiliation, of fasting, of prayer, of repentance. Why? Well, said Lincoln, we've grown in numbers. We've grown in wealth, we've grown in power as no other nation has ever grown, but we have forgotten God. We've forgotten the gracious hand that preserved us in peace, that multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. And so intoxicated with unbroken success, we've become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God who made us. Thus, said Lincoln, it behooves us to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. And that's what happened way back on April 30, 1863. The American people, in compliance with the request of the Senate and the proclamation of Lincoln, well, they abstained from ordinary secular pursuits. They humbled themselves, and in deep, deep repentance. They devoted themselves to fasting, to prayer for the restoration of a divided country. Well, such times of national repentance find their precedent throughout the pages of sacred scripture. They provide an apt example for you and I to follow in the context of riots, of destruction, of looting, of COVID-19. This is precisely why my Singaporean friend Elijah Wijaya, the man to whom I dedicated my book Truth Matters, Life Matters More, asked me to ask you to join in taking three simple yet life-altering steps. I'm going to talk about those steps when I come back from the break. In the meantime, you might take a moment to go to the web at equip.org, because it is there in a safe, secure fashion you can subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Again, at equip.org. And I'll be right back with three important messages.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's flagship publication designed to equip you in doctrine, defense, and discernment. When you subscribe to the journal, you'll receive a magazine that's not only scholarly in its substance, but beautiful in its presentation, easily accessible and relevant, with stunning graphics and rich content written by respected theologians and communicators. The Christian Research Journal is a must-have resource that no Christian home should be without. Start your subscription today. Call 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back with more after this. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
Jackie Hill Perry used to be a lesbian. In Gay Girl, Good God, she shares her story of embracing masculinity and homosexuality with every fiber of her being. She knew the Christian worldview on sexual identity, but how was she supposed to stop loving women when homosexuality felt more natural to her than heterosexuality ever could? Ultimately, Jackie came face to face with what it meant to be made new. God broke in and turned her heart toward him right in her own bedroom through the light of his gospel. Read Gay Girl, Good God in order to understand. Read in order to hope. Or read in order, like Jackie, to be made new. To receive your copy of Gay Girl, Good God, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Before the break, I was talking about our award-winning magazine, the Christian Research Journal, and it's so interesting that at this epic time in our history, we are faced not only with a pandemic, which is ravaging so many people around the world in so many different ways, some by the actual disease and some by the actual consequences of the disease in many other ways, the loss of income, separation from families, the inability to mourn the death of loved ones, the list goes on. But we're also faced with a word crisis that threatens to undo Western civilization. And I mentioned before the break the redefinition of the word marriage, but there's so much more. As the article Seduced underscores, this is a virulent linguistic crisis. And long after the COVID-19 crisis has receded from our memories, this battle is going to continue to ravage our futures. And thus, as so often put it, we can curse the darkness or we can build a lighthouse in the midst of the gathering storm. Articles like the articles in the Christian Research Journal, along with what you do personally by not only absorbing the content but communicating it with gentleness and with respect, makes a difference. So I recommend that you read this issue cover to cover. That will equip you with new heights of perspective and new depths of understanding. It will provide you with new insights as well as perhaps new ways of seeing. As also mentioned before the break, how important it is for America to humble itself and pray, to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, to pray for clemency and forgiveness. It happened over 100 years ago in 1863, and if it happened again, perhaps Western civilization could as yet be rescued. Well, how does that happen? It all begins with humility, with prayer. Prayer is something that is very, very precious to me. I wrote a book about prayer called The Prayer of Jesus. I pray a prayer over and over again called the Jesus Prayer. That Jesus Prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. But I want you, I'm not talking about someone else, but I'm talking about you, to take three simple yet life-altering steps. Again, these steps were placed in my consciousness by my Singaporean friend Elijah Wijaya. And he was, as I mentioned before the break, someone that I dedicated Truth Matters, Life Matters more to. And so he put this on my heart. It's not original to me, but it has had an impact in my life, the life of my family, and multitudes around the world. The first thing that he asked for is that we pray the Lord's Prayer three times a day, morning, noon, and evening. And I can say with total integrity that I do that. And I do that because this is in concert with the practice of the early Christian church. It's a practice derived from the ancient Jews who prayed the Hebrew Shema, Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And in the Didache, this ancient church catechism that may well have been in circulation prior to the destruction of Jerusalem, the early church was instructed to pray morning, noon, and evening in the manner of the prophet Daniel, but by substituting the Lord's Prayer in place of the Shema. So pray the Lord's Prayer three times a day, If that becomes a habit, if you begin to focus on the words, they are transformational. This is the most beautiful symmetric prayer that you could possibly imagine. It starts with our Father, not my Father, but our Father. We pray collectively as Christians, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So the focus is on God. And then we pray, give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. If you think about those words, not just repeat them blindly, but think about them, they're transformational. I never get tired of praying that prayer. I'd wake up with that prayer on my lips. I go to sleep with that prayer on my lips. And then Elijah urges us to pray three times a day for 21 days. Well, why that? In Daniel 10, we read that Daniel not only prayed three times a day, but he did so for 21 days. And thereafter, he experienced a breathtaking answer to his supplications. One of the attendant benefits to inaugurating a prayer pattern for 21 days is that it may well establish an unbreakable prayer pattern for the rest of your days. So pray three times a day, morning, noon, and night. Pray the Lord's Prayer. And then do it for 21 days, and it may well establish a habit for the remainder of your time on this planet. And then thirdly, pray as did our Lord and Savior for unity in the body of Christ. Remember, Jesus said, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. A global church fused together around the essentials of the historic Christian faith is the answer to Christ's high priestly prayer. Divided, the church's energy remains limited, in fact, toxic. But united to God and united to one another, the church is empowered by an unlimited flow of divine energy, energy by which to provide life and light to the world. To paraphrase David in Psalm 133, I love this psalm. How good and pleasant it is when the body of Christ lives together in unity. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Allow me to conclude this broadcast by evoking the principle of multiplication. Just as the new coronavirus knows no borders, so too the principle of multiplication can spread Elijah's prophetic message of prayer, of unity, of repentance throughout the globe. Over the past several days, I've begun to call ministry leaders, and I've done that in order that they may begin to spread this message to those within the sphere of their influence. And I can easily imagine ministries that reach hundreds of thousands becoming a catalyst to reaching literally billions within a short period of time. I urge the body of Christ not to miss this opportunity. Time is constant, but opportunities are not. So again, pray the Lord's Prayer three times a day, morning, noon, and evening. Secondly, pray three times a day for 21 days, and then pray as our Lord and Savior did, pray for unity in the body of Christ. Unity is necessary. If, as someone has well said, if we don't hang together, we're going to hang separately. We're in the midst of a crisis of civilization. It is time for the body to stand up and be counted. Well, I want to again urge you to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. You can do so in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Also, do remember our resource of the month, Gay Girl, Good God by Jackie Hill Perry. Terrific resource. It is available for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. We can't do anything about the last generation, nor can we do anything about the next generation. We can do something in this moment today. So make your life count for time and for eternity. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.